Lord Jesus Christ, we are thankful that you are one who gathers us in, who calls us by name, who sheds light on every shadowy place of our lives. We pray that your spirit would be moving during this time, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, as many of you know, I was at Covenant Pines for about a week last month at our MEA retreats. And it's really fun because the junior hires are there for a few days, and then the senior hires come up on the buses, load the junior hires on those same buses, and send them back home. So it's a quick turnover, not much time to take a nap in between, but a really full, fun few days of being with our students. And I love that these retreats are right at the beginning of the year. A lot of good time to have deeper conversation and get to know the kids in a new way, as well as get to know kids from other youth groups. As our group of youth leaders, youth pastors, it's really fun to get to know each other's kids as well. And one of my favorite memories was during one of our small group times, when we got off on a tangent, as often happens. And I don't remember quite how we got there, but our group of high school girls started talking about the stories that they loved most in the Gospels about Jesus. And as far as tangents go, this is a pretty good one, so we let it roll on for a while. And they talked about how much they love the stories involving what they like to call sassy Jesus. And this is where Jesus boldly calls someone out for their behavior, usually someone in power. When he expresses some righteous anger over an injustice against someone he loves. And this happens a lot in the Gospels. We get to see a lot of different sides and emotions of Jesus in Scripture. And it was clear that the stories that stuck out the most to these high school girls were the ones where Jesus showed some fire in his bones. So as we explore the text of the hymn, Gather Us In, this morning, we've just sung the first verse of it, I want to read this passage from Luke's Gospel where Jesus uses some feisty words, as Kirsten and the kids were talking about earlier, and it'll give us some imagery to frame where we're going today. So this passage comes during the time of Jesus' ministry, after he has set his face toward Jerusalem. He's moving with purpose and intention toward the city of Jerusalem, toward his death, and he's teaching and healing as he goes. So we'll read Luke 13, 31 through 35. You can follow along on the screen or in your Bibles. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." Jesus replied, "Go tell that fox. I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. In any case, I must press on today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who are sent to you. How often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you are not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So the image that I want to focus on here is Herod as a fox and Jesus as a mother hen. This is one of those metaphors for Jesus that doesn't get a lot of attention, but it should, because it shows us more of who Jesus is and who we are in relationship to him. And first, as we've already talked about a little bit today, when Jesus calls Herod a fox, he's being very intentionally unflattering. Foxes were known as worthless or pesky animals. David Jeffrey, in his commentary on Luke, says that calling someone a fox was a rabbinic term of derision for someone known to be habitually deceptive or a creature of low cunning. So Jesus is essentially mocking Herod's character and his intelligence, which is a pretty bold move, pretty risky to insult someone with Herod's level of power. But it's important to note that when Jesus gets angry, it's never reckless, it's never haphazard, it's never reactive. Jesus' anger is directed with intention and purpose. And in this case, it's coming from a fierce protectiveness of his mission and of his people. In the next breath, Jesus compares himself to a mother hen who desires to gather her children together under her wings. It's part of his longing and his lament over the city of Jerusalem. As he's looking toward the events of his death that are coming quickly to him, He knows what is coming to him from the people that he loves, a people who do not know what they are doing, a people who choose to reject the one who has come to bring them life. And so, like a fierce mother caring for her children, Jesus declares his intent to gather and protect what is his, even knowing the pain that it will cost him. It's a very powerful image. And so with this image of Jesus as Mother Hen on our minds, on our hearts, I want to jump into the text of this hymn, Gather Us In. So verse 1 that we just sang says, "Here in this place the new light is streaming, shadows of doubt are vanished away. See in this space our fears and our dreamings brought here to you in the light of this day. Gather us in, the lost and forsaken. Gather us in, our spirits in flame. Call to us now and we shall awaken. We shall arise at the sound of our name." In this verse, we can hear the themes of deep knowing that come with God calling our names. In order to be gathered into a life of following Jesus, we need to be known. We need to hear our name being called before we can enter into this community and say yes to this invitation to get up and move. And so one of the questions that is in front of us that I've asked you before, I'll ask you again. Do you feel known by God? Do you feel the freedom to come to God with your whole self, knowing that nothing is hidden from God? Does your spirit come alive when you are in conversation with your Creator, when you talk to God about your fears and your dreamings? Because these are risky things to let go of. These are not easy things to release our control over. We have to be able to trust that God knows us, that God completely desires to respond to the deepest longings of our hearts. And because we don't always see immediate results in front of us, it can be a challenge to trust, even on our best days. So how are you cultivating this relationship of honesty and trust with God? How are you allowing God to know you and hold your fears and your dreams with you? And as my spiritual director often reminds me, when I get frustrated with God not moving fast enough or not responding in the ways that I would like, sometimes it's the role of the community of faith around us to help us hold our dreams and our fears and our longings with us on our behalf when we don't quite have it in us to trust fully in what God is doing. Sometimes trusting God means letting our friends, letting our community hold our hope for us for a season. We are not meant to do this alone. We need one another on this journey of faith. Verse 2 says this, "We are the young, our lives are a mystery. We are the old who yearn for your face. We have been sung throughout all of history, called to be light to the whole human race. Gather us in, the rich and the haughty. Gather us in, the proud and the strong. Give us a heart so meek and so lowly. Give us the courage to enter the song." In this verse, I can't help but see our church family reflected. We are the young, we are the old, we are a singing community. We are a body that is working to be light to the people around us. Sometimes we get it right, sometimes we don't. But wherever we find ourselves in this verse, it's true that it takes courage to enter into community. And we're being very intentional about this right now as a church. This vision that we have of creating deeper relationships across generations takes courage. It can be very scary and vulnerable sometimes. And it's important to acknowledge those fears, to name them, because then we can work through them together and move into a space where we can be more reflective of God's kingdom as a community. My favorite line from this verse is, "We have been sung throughout all of history." I love that. What does it mean that we have been sung, that you have been sung, that your life is a part of a song that has been woven together since the beginning of time? I like to think that maybe this epic song has some notes that might be slightly out of tune. We know that perfection is not a prerequisite for being gathered under the wings of Jesus, praise God. We are gathered before we get it together. "While we were still sinners, Christ died for us," Romans 5 says. This is how God shows his love for us. And so I hope you hear this very clearly. We are called into community before we are good enough. You are worthy to be gathered, to be invited in exactly as you are. But once we enter the song, things start to change. We don't stay the same, and that's where verse 3 takes us. Verse 3 says, "Here we receive new life in the waters. Here we receive the bread of new birth. Here you shall call your sons and your daughters. Call us anew to be salt for the earth. Give us to drink the wine of compassion. Give us to eat the bread that is you. Nourish us well and teach us to fashion lives that are holy and hearts that are true." We have a shift to life within the community of faith. This is where we experience new life in the waters of baptism and the nourishment of communion of the Lord's Supper together, Christ's body and blood. This is where spiritual formation happens. And all of this is a bit of a mystery in the best way. As a pastor, one of the most sacred things that I get to be a part of is God's grace through the sacraments. Every single time we celebrate communion or we perform a baptism, the Spirit does something that is very real. There's nothing magical about it, but it's always full of mystery and grace. I hope you sense that too. There's something about using the ordinary physical elements of bread and juice and water as a means of God's very real presence that touches our humanity that is so sacred in a beautiful way. And in this place, we're taught to be grounded in the truth of who God is, not just in a head knowledge way, but in a heart way. And this verse is about the richness of life in the church. It's where we receive, where we're formed and fed as disciples. Learning and growth happens here as we study Scripture, as we seek to apply it, as we listen to one another's stories, as we do the work of discernment, as we take steps to love and serve God in new ways. At least that is our hope. We're formed to be more like Christ, and we're shaped by the experience of being in deep and authentic community with one another. And this clearly requires more than passive attendance on Sunday mornings. I hope you see yourselves not as an audience who comes to see a performance up front every week, but a congregation of members who are essential to the body of Christ. I hope you know that life at Bloomington Covenant Church would not be the same without you, that it would suffer without you. We collectively are the church, formed and fed within this community for the purpose of reaching out beyond our walls. And that's where verse 4 takes us. Not just in buildings small and confining, not in some heaven light years away. Here in this place, the new light is shining. Now is God present, and now is the day. Gather us in and hold us forever. Gather us in and make us your own. Gather us in, all peoples together, fire of love in our flesh and our bone. This verse is about being rooted in love for the purpose of leaving the nest. This is where we are sent. This is the moment the chicks flap their little wings and do what they were made to do, become who they were made to be. This verse is missional. It's a call to leave the small and confining comfort of church buildings, as well as a faraway hope in some future heavenly reality that doesn't have to do with life now. These words call us to be present right where we are and realize that God is there, waiting to invite us to be with him in every space, in every moment. And this is for all peoples together. When we look at the history of God's people throughout generations, we see that the fire of God's Spirit in those who are seeking to be faithful propels us outward more and more. It's not enough to come and receive within the walls, because the church is defined as a people who have come alive to be God's people in the world, to extend the borders of who is included, to let go of our desires to control and limit, and instead trust in the God whose invitation is always bigger and wider than we're comfortable with. Excuse me, got this cough, bear with me. A few of us were at a conference on Thursday called the Do Justice Conference, featuring Brian Stevenson. He's the author of the book Just Mercy. He's also the founder of the Equal Justice Initiative based in Montgomery. He's a lawyer who has committed his work to advocating for people who are on death row. He's also part of the decision from the Supreme Court to abolish the death penalty for children under 18. He's a truly prophetic man who has fire in his bones and whose life is shaped by the transforming, costly call of the gospel. One of the things that he said over and over again to this room of faith leaders and nonprofit workers, lay people, is this: our faith comes to life in proximity to the poor and excluded. Our faith comes to life in proximity to the poor and excluded. One of the first steps toward being people who love mercy and do justice and walk humbly is getting ourselves in the same space as those who have been rejected by the systems of power in our world, those who are pushed to the forgotten places because they have something to teach us. They know something about God's grace. Our dreams and our imaginations, our longings for what the world can be, what the church can be, needs their voices. Not only do we need them for our community to be more reflective of who God is, we need them in order for our own hearts to come alive. I don't know about you, but I know for me it can be so easy to get into my normal rhythms and circles of people and forget about allowing space for the holy disruptions that God wants to bring to me. It's usually when I am on the edge, when I'm a little beyond what is comfortable and convenient for me, that God blesses me with grace when my heart comes alive in a new way. And so when we're gathered into this place, when we're sent out, we need to be aware of who is here and who is not here. Who are we choosing to be proximate to? Because my wholeness is tied to yours. Our wholeness as a community is tied to the wholeness of our brothers and sisters who are told that they don't matter. We are not free until they are free. This is at the heart of the gospel, and it's a challenging word that has the power to ignite the fire of love in our flesh and in our bones. It's a compelling call and a very difficult one. So as we come to a close, I want to ask you to think about where you find yourself in the progression of these verses. Are you someone who's standing on the outskirts, wondering if you're worthy to be gathered in, wondering if Jesus really knows your name and would care to speak it? Do you find yourself responding to Jesus' invitation, but hesitant to join in the song of community? Are there fears that are keeping you distant from the call to go deeper in your relationship and take the risk of being in community with your brothers and sisters? Are you in the process of learning and formation, where you're being nourished by life in the church and growing in your knowledge of Jesus Christ? Are you standing on the threshold of mission, where you're being filled up and ready to be sent out, but don't quite know what that looks like yet? Maybe you're feeling the fire and love of the Holy Spirit alive in you, and you're looking for ways to use that in a new way. Maybe you're discerning how God might be pushing you into proximity with those who have been cast aside. And the good news is that wherever you find yourself in this, God will meet you there. God's wings are warm and wide enough for all people in all times and places. And these are holy, sacred invitations for God to work in us. Let's pray. God, we thank you for knowing us so completely, for inviting us into life with you and with one another. We thank you for your strong, fierce love that protects us and nourishes us, that helps us grow, that sends us out. We pray that you would give us the wisdom and the courage to be people who gather others in, especially those who are seen as last and least. Give us eyes to see, hands that reach out and invite. Fill us up with the boldness of your Spirit. Make us more like you. We are yours, and we pray all these things in your good and powerful name. Amen.